ranks and status. Finally, he reached to him, and the Prophet reached to a level, and he saw that the Prophet angel cannot accompany him anymore,
mm-hmm.
and asked him that, why do you not accompany me anymore?
Yes.
He said that it's only specific to you, O mm-hmm. Prophet, that, let's say, high status. I can accompany you up to this level. So even the Prophet's status and rank is higher than Jibreel. And he is more, let's say, virtuous as compared to Jibreel. But of course, when it comes to your question that why some of them are considered more higher, yeah?
Yes, higher in the status
higher
than
in
others.
Status,
right.
Yeah, as compared to the others, the rest of the Jibreel. Of course, it is because of their responsibilities, because of their duties, because of, let's say, the way that they fulfill their responsibilities. Sometimes, for example, in this world, you give different responsibilities to different people. All of them truly and completely and perfectly fulfill their responsibilities.
Yes.
But of course, when you, let's say, then you cannot ask them that why all of them are fulfilling their responsibilities,
okay.
why some of them are of higher level or
yes.
higher ranks. It is something very much reasonable, which mm-hmm. very much rational.
That's
the
right.
one who has, for example, more serious responsibilities, of course, they should be considered
mm-hmm.
in the more highest levels. That's why the
yes.
revelation,
mm-hmm.
wahi, for the guidance of the mankind and talking to the prophets
yes.
and being much close to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more close to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as compared to the other prophets, of course, it will give the Jibreel the highest level, and of course, the other responsibilities, the other, let's say, duties that are fulfilled by the rest of the prophets, of course, they are different. That's why it depends on the responsibility, on the thing that the prophets fulfill
yes.
in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right.
This is the point.
And we must know that, for example, Satan was not an angel.
No, he was a jinn.
He was a jinn.
Yeah, of course.
This is a misunderstanding
yes.
about Satan. There have been also some documents that some of the angels, for example, did not do this action or that action. For example, like
Fotros
or something like
there.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
But according to many ulama, this is tarki ula,
yeah,
of leaving the preferred
seen, yeah.
action.
Yeah, it is also said that some of them asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that do you want to go down and live in the earth?
Uh-huh.
It is based on their asking, not it was not a sin actually.
That's right. So they do not do sins. There
no,
is no sinning.
No,
there is no commitment of the
no,
sins.
No.
Can we
Even
say
for
that,
the prophets, we do not
okay.
believe in sin.
Can we now say that because they are, do not sins, they are not sinful, they are better than prophets or imams?
No, never.
Because
no,
imams
no,
and prophets...
No, yeah, the levels and the status of the imams. And you know why? Because imam is the one who can sin,
uh-huh,
who can
has
commit
the power.
Sin. He has the power. He is able to sin. But... he does not commit, he controls himself.
Uh-huh.
That's why, you know, the one who has no, let's say, means to do something wrong, and the one who has lots of means to do something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one is of more, let's say, higher, let's say, position or status, isn't that?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
IRIB English Radio presents Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Is there any specific attributes or, for example, how can I say, bodily signs for an angel or something like that?
The existence or
because
the
mostly
haqiqa.
In the movies and the
yeah,
pictures
yeah, yeah.
and in the paintings.
No, the haqiqa or the existence of the angels are not material,
uh-huh.
are not physical.
Okay.
They are higher than physical level. You know, according to the scholars, we have, for example, different levels of existence.
Mm-hmm.
One is the material, which is the lowest level. The other one is the mithali or barzakhi, which is between the material and the most, let's say, spiritual or, let's say, the transphysical world. So there are three levels, bodily, physical, between the physical and non-physical, and finally non-physical or immaterial.
Mm-hmm.
The one who has immaterial level, he can present himself or itself into a bodily kind of manifestation, or it can manifest itself or show itself into bodily or physical kind of things. Like jinns sometimes can show themselves in the form of a body.
Mm-hmm.
Or for example...
It can move
bodily things. Yeah.
Insert into the body of people.
Yeah, of course, control the bodies.
Yeah, yeah.
Angels also sometimes can show themselves in the shape or the form of a body. There's no problem with that. But it doesn't mean that their existence is bodily existence.
According to the Quran, Ruhul Amin...
Is Jibra'il.
Yes. Was, for example, descended into the body of Maryam.
Yeah, sometimes he presents himself in the shape or form of some people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that some of the companions of the Prophet also saw him.
Mm-hmm. So do we have any mu'min and fasiq angel or not?
We cannot say fasiq angel.
We cannot say.
Angel has no power to be fasiq.
So all the angels in the realm of pure, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're all believers.
They do not have free will.
Uh-huh. They do not have free will to be...
Sin, yeah, of course.
Okay, so are absolutely obedient.
They are totally categorically submissive.
What about their gender? I mean, the sexuality. Is there any sexuality?
For the immaterial existence, there is no gender. Gender does not have any meaning. Ruh and soul is neither.
Mostly angels are considered as feminine.
Neither, but
and
it's
not masculine.
True to say, yes, that...
Uh-huh.
Because that in the highest level of existence, gender has no meaning. Gender is for this physical and bodily kind of...
Are they visible too by the eyes of, as you said, eye of the heart?
People might be able to see it. As some of the companions sometimes saw them. And Amir al-Mu'minin says that I saw him.
Prophet Muhammad could see Gabriel.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, that's right.
It's not something normal and usual that everyone could claim.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
That's right. Lady Fatima to Zahra, for example, could see Gabriel. That's right. Very, very complicated form. It is not only limited to Islam, the religions before
Abrahamic
Islam.
Non-Abrahamic religions talk about
Christianity.
The kind of creatures that they are called angels. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's all right. Can we say that the concept of Isma is true about angels too, isn't it? Or no, Isma is only...
It depends.
Limited.
It depends how do you define Isma, infallibility. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Infallibility sometimes is ascribed to a person who is able to commit sin and who does not commit sin and control himself.
Okay.
He's masum. Okay.
Okay.
But if Isma is defined this way, that is anyone who does not commit sin, he should be called as masum.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, by this definition, we can attribute it to the angels as well.
That's all right. So, do you believe that a spiritual perfection, working on your self-purification or something like that, will help you to be connected to the angels and get help from them or not?
We have it possible? In our riwayat, we have that by purification, by purifying yourself or staying away from the sins, then your soul will get more perfection.
Uh-huh.
So the more you perfect, then the abilities of your soul, the capabilities of your soul increase, or let's say enhance.
Yes.
And then you advance your, let's say, abilities. Finally, you might be able to hear some voices that the others cannot hear. You might see and witness something that the other cannot witness. Mm-hmm. It is possible. There is possibility. No one can deny and reject it totally.
That's all right. So we have also so many documents that, for example, so many angels descend on Thursday nights, Friday mornings, into the holy tomb of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam.
We have that. Also, we have in Surah Al-Qadr.
Uh-huh.
Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin tanazzalu al-mala'ikatu war-ruhu fiha bi'idhni rabbihim.
Tanazzul
is a continuously, let's say, descending.
Uh-huh.
And the question is that to whom they descend?
Descend.
On whom they descend?
Uh-huh.
You know,
That's right.
That on Imam Zaman, Ajallallahu Ta'ala, Farajahu Sharif, they descend, yes.
And the holy tombs of the Imams and Imam
Maybe,
al-As. Thank you very much. Of course, there are so many other questions. For example, what does it mean when we say they have wings or something like that? So many scholars says this is the maratib. You know, or some of them, they say that, for example, this is the means or devices by which, for example, they fly or descend from the heavens onto the earth or something like that. Okay, there are so many.
Yeah. The general point that we should know here is that only by rawayat and ayat we can understand something about angels.
Mm-hmm.
But they are not perceivable. They are not understandable by our sensory knowledge. No one can have any access to them by sensory knowledge.
That's right.
That's why only through riwayat, true authentic riwayats, we can achieve some kind of knowledge about them. Otherwise, no.
That's all right. Thank you much, Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding the concept of the creation of the angels and malaika. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah. لعلي وحسين وحسان إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسان لعلي وحسين وحسان كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
The freed Palestinian prisoners and their families here in the occupied territories were filled with mixed emotions as 39 released women and minors found relief from the brutality of Israeli jails as part of a prisoner exchange agreement with Hamas. 39 is not just a number, as each of the freed Palestinians has a different story to tell after languishing for months in Israeli jails where thousands of Palestinian freedom fighters are still being held.
Inshallah, all the prisoners will be released. We have faith in Allah and the resistance. We didn't have a radio or television to know what was going on outside the prisons. We knew about the ceasefire and the deal when Israeli jailers raided our cells and started to bring out prisoners. They grabbed us by our clothes and dragged us away from the cells.
The moment we knew that the resistance had detained Israelis, I called my mom on that day. And she told me that resistance fighters had detained Israelis and that they were shelling the settlements. All female inmates started to scream for joy. Then the soldiers broke into our cells and attacked and beat us. And since then, the majority of us had been held in solitary confinement and all of our belongings had been seized. We do not have enough food or water. And we were literally being mistreated. When we were informed that there was a swap deal, we were happy but sad at the same time because of the martyrs in Gaza. We are proud of Gaza and the resistance, and may God bless the martyrs.
13 Israeli captives were released by Hamas as part of the swap deal. Israel has agreed to release 150 Palestinian women and children prisoners in exchange for Hamas releasing 50 of the women and children taken captive during the Al-Aqsa flood operation on the 7th of October. The prisoner exchange takes place during the four-day truce in the Gaza Strip, and that's why this relief is mixed with sadness as Palestinians fear the resumption of Israeli hostilities in Gaza after the ceasefire expires. The swap deal, however, is not the end of the story, as families of other prisoners hope all their loved ones will be freed soon.
What Hamas did, she make it this time with force. Even we lost a lot of blood. My people, I passed away. They killed hospitals, they killed people, they killed everywhere. But we still believe that this is our right and we'll take our freedom, whatever will happen. We will give this and we will give more years. Kamal Nail for him is 44 years in prison. His age now is 66. And we have Kamal Suher Burkhouti, she's in prison too, which is her 64. We believe this is the first step. And inshallah, we hope with the people, with their strongest, which they are, we will have the next step, which is liberate of all Palestine.
Before October 7, there were about 5,200 Palestinians in Israeli jails. However, in the last few weeks, the number of Palestinian inmates skyrocketed as another 3,000 were detained. The release of those Palestinian prisoners from Israeli jails gives a glimmer of hope for thousands of detainees and their families that the resistance will keep its promise to release all prisoners. Mona Qandil, Occupied Ramallah.
A peaceful march for peace. As the bombs temporarily stop falling from the sky above Gaza, hundreds of thousands of pro-Palestine demonstrators of all faiths are back to the streets of the British capital, many traveling from other parts of the UK, united in their demands.
We need to cease fire. We need to end the siege in Gaza. We need to end the occupation and free Palestine.
A long-term solution is an immediate ceasefire, longer-term ceasefire. It is an end to the system of apartheid. It is an end to the occupation. It is an end to the oppression and systematic oppression that has been going on for the last 75 years.
Demands is obviously that Israel stops this genocide, that they allow the people to go back to their homes in Gaza, that they stop pushing them out towards the deserts.
More than 1,500 police officers were on duty distributing leaflets warning demonstrators against the use of, quote, racist abuse and promoting terrorism, raising questions about proportionality.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure on the police being put on them by the government to put a stamp down on these protests. You know, these protests are accused of being anti-Semitic, but really, these are just ordinary workers who can understand what's happening, who can see through the establishment lies, the propaganda.
What they're also demanding is that the UK government stop arming the Israeli regime and withdraw its diplomatic cover for it.
Western governments have suffered major reputational damage for their continued support for the Israeli regime's crimes against Palestinians. And the people here are highlighting Western double standards with regard to the protection of civilians in different conflicts.
Well, we see it all over. When it was the Ukrainian issue, you know, the flags were out, everyone's talking about it. Right now, it's silence across every political spectrum. Labour, nothing. Conservative, nothing. You know, and their parties that we're not going to be voting for. So, yes, we need to basically, you know, this has to be the forefront of all political activity.
The four-day truce offers some hope to these demonstrators that it might mean the beginning of the end and a breath of fresh air to more than 2 million Gazans left with few options for survival. This is the seventh protest of the kind in as many weeks, and the organizers say as long as the killing continues, so will they. Saeed Pourreza, London.
Palestine will be free has become a popular slogan at demonstrations around the world. In Seoul on Saturday, the 10th protest here against Israel's attack on Gaza, a young teacher outlined the scope of Israeli mass murder of young Palestinians.
More than 6,000 Palestinian children have lost their lives in unimaginably horrific ways, and even newborn babies were killed. Our children, who should be happy at school, learning to read, learn numbers, sing and draw, and hang out with their friends, terrorists?
Hani Mansour has attended several of the rallies and marches in support of Palestinians. He argues that Palestinians are justified in defending and fighting for their homeland, and it is the U.S. hegemonic self-interest that's behind Washington's support of the illegal Israeli occupation.
America wants to dominate the world, and when Israel was established, it wanted dominance over the entire Middle East. So if people are exploited and regions are exploited, America is not harmed at all, but is the first beneficiary of everything that happens in the world.
While genocide is more and more often applied to Israel's seemingly indiscriminate attacks on Gaza, a linguistic debate is raging, putting the slaughter of thousands of people into context. Around the world, Israel appears to be losing that debate amid growing demands for a lasting truce. The ongoing release of detainees on both sides may represent some degree of optimism. Still, Israel maintains it will continue its war on Gaza. But demonstrations like this one are driving home the fact that the broader issue of Israel's occupation of Palestinian lands will eventually need to be resolved. Frank Smith, Seoul.
Another pro-Palestinian demonstration has taken place in the Yemeni capital Sana'a in solidarity with Palestinians and their resilience in the face of the Israeli aggression. Protesters also expressed support for the Yemeni government's decision to continue targeting Israel with drones and ballistic missiles. They stressed that this is a battle between good versus evil.
This is a battle against the heads and masterminds of disbelief, at the head of which is America and Israel, the great Satan and the cancer in the body of the Muslim world. By the will of Allah, victory is near.
14 nations wages airstrikes against us and all fail to deter us as we continue to fight today. We do not fear them as long as Allah is with us. We tell them that no matter how much you plot, Allah will turn their plots against them.
Last week, the Yemeni army confirmed they are able to target Israeli ships in the Red Sea and any other location. The army also stated they will target Israeli ships heading toward occupied Palestine or any other country. The Ansarullah military says its moves against Israel are part of efforts to pressure the regime in Tel Aviv to put a halt to the atrocities against Palestinians.
Yemen's armed forces will not hesitate to target all Israeli ships in the Red Sea or at any location within our reach. Yemen's armed forces will not stop launching attacks against Israelis until the regime's aggression on our Palestinian brothers ends.
The government in Sana'a believes these military moves could lead to a full-scale war with the U.S. and the Israeli regime. Despite that, Yemen leaders believe war has been permitted against those killing Muslims and forcing them out of their land. Israel's economy is heavily dependent on imports and exports traded through Yemen's crucial Bab al-Mandab Strait. This comes as the Ansarullah movement has announced it will not allow any Israeli shipments to pass through this strait as long as the Tel Aviv regime continues its acts of aggression in occupied Palestine. Yusuf Mawri, Sana'a.
As you enter the playground of most schools in Lebanon, it is not only the Lebanese flag which is seen waving. Most extracurricular activities and events include some mention of Gaza and Palestine. Students here have, in their own words, expressed their utter rejection of the continuous onslaught against innocent children.
What kind of sick and twisted maniac would do this to children? If we look at the facts, we see that Israel has won multiple institutions for Gaza, like the hospitals, the schools, that foster like 4 to 5 innocent kids. So by standing with them, I believe that we stand for justice, we stand for freedom, we stand for compassion.
The television and news, mostly in America and Europe, they don't spot the light on these violations because they don't want to report a message to people that the Israeli army is actually destroying the life of some innocent kids, that there is no front line defending them. This is a big challenge that we are facing right now. We should help them mentally with any type of support that we have.
We look at the screens on the TVs, and you feel you just want to cry for what's happening for them. And just something unbearable for this, and incredible. We can't bear. We have to move. We have to do something for those people to save their lives. Otherwise, we are not human being anymore.
During a school seminar, words and slogans, in addition to symbols of Palestinian resistance, are worn by the students and teachers alike.
The Palestinian kids are not only statistics of wars, they are human beings like us. They have the right to dream, the right to live, the right to have all their rights like other human beings.
I would like to express my opinion in my house, in the community, and everything, and also in supporting boys and girls in Gaza.
Shouts from protests in support of Gaza and denouncing the massacres in Palestine and Lebanon have been echoing across the capital, Beirut. People of all ages have taken part, but experts believe that this war has deeply touched the conscience of the younger generations because of the daily killing of infants, which the world has not stopped.
Today, when younger generations see the U.S.-Israeli massacre of children, they realize that the U.S. is the real enemy of all mankind. It is in the interest of all the people around the world to unite against the U.S., since it has violated all norms of humanity together with the Israeli regime.
Despite their young age and the fact that they have not witnessed any wars, Lebanon's children and youth consider the war waged on Gaza as an act of terrorism. Their confusion lies in understanding why the so-called democracies of the world support the slaughter of innocent women and children. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.
Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian described the aim of the visit to the Swiss city of Geneva as pursuing the process of delivery of humanitarian aid to Palestinians in Gaza and the end of the Israeli siege of the coastal territory.
We are pursuing process of delivery of humanitarian assistance to people in Gaza. We will have meetings with UN officials and International Red Cross organization. Some of the meetings have been held, while others are on the agenda. Definitely, the humanitarian situation in Gaza is embarrassing.
Amir Abdullahian also censured the U.S. military support for Israel, saying Washington's claims of providing aid to Palestinians are just words without actions.
We have heard from the American foreign minister saying Washington seeks to send around 500 trucks of humanitarian aid to Gaza daily. But currently, between 25 to 40 trucks are only entering Gaza. One-third of this aid is water, lacking the essential food and medicine urgently needed by Palestinians.
The Iranian foreign minister made the remarks following talks with the UN Undersecretary for Human Rights Affairs, Martin Griffiths. During their meeting, Amir Abdullahian stated Hamas resistance movement's preparedness to release Israeli civilians in exchange for the end of the regime's onslaught against Palestinians. Griffiths, for his part, highlighted the importance of this topic and thanked Iran's efforts in preventing the war from spreading. Amir Abdullahian then held talks with Volker Turk, the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights. Following that, he met with Mirjana Espoljaric-Egger, president of the International Committee of Red Cross. The talks all revolved around ending the siege on Gaza and the opening of the Rafah border crossing.
For the last 40 days, Israeli warplanes and tanks have been pounding the Gaza Strip. Thousands of civilians, including women and children, have been killed in the Gaza Strip. For the last 40 days, the international community has failed to propose a solution to end the war. Now, many are wondering whether the United Nations and other human rights organizations can do anything more to protect Palestinians other than just issuing condemnations. Atia Posyan, Geneva.
Music.
At the invitation of Palestinian factions, hundreds of Syrians joined their brethren to rally in Khan Yunus refugee camp to condemn Israeli crimes against the Palestinian people, especially the besieged people of Gaza. The demonstrators stressed that the Western-backed aggression and blockade will not defeat Palestine and its people. They also pointed to the failure of the Israeli regime to produce any evidence backing up its claims about the presence of a Hamas command center under Gaza's Al-Shifa hospital.
The issue of Shifa Medical Complex has exposed Israel and the international community supporting it, including the United States of America. It has proven to the world that our hospitals are solely for patients and the wounded, and that the Zionist enemy only seeks to destroy them.
Two residents of the Khan Yunus refugee camp were martyred in Al-Aqsa flood operation. The people of the camp take pride in their martyrs. Participants affirmed that the path of liberating Al-Quds and Al-Aqsa Mosque is difficult, but pledged to make all necessary sacrifices in the battle for the Palestinian cause.
It is a great honor to be in a family that has a martyr for the cause of liberating Al-Aqsa, which is also the first martyr from Khan Yunus camp. It is a very modest sacrifice for the sake of Palestine and the heroic people of Gaza.
We, the sons of the Islamic Jihad in Khan Yunus camp, assure our people in Palestine that we stand firmly with them and with the resistance. Our hand is on the trigger until the end and to the last breath.
Meanwhile, inside the Zainab city, a solidarity event was held in support of Palestine, where families of the Palestinian resistance martyrs were honored. In turn, families hailed martyrdom as the only path to victory. Participants expressed confidence in the victory of Gaza, emphasizing that the Palestinian cause will always thrive throughout generations.
As outrage grows in the region due to the escalation of Israeli crimes, Syrians and Palestinians reaffirm their support for Gaza in the face of the Israeli aggression and their determination to achieve victory, no matter how great the sacrifices are. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
This is the Heart of Life pounding. IRIB English Radio.
The consequences of the Zionist regime's war on Gaza will certainly be felt for many years to come, not only in Palestine or even the West Asia region, but worldwide as well. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Palestine Chronicle wrote, "For decades, the struggle for national liberation in Palestine was rightly understood to be part and parcel of a global struggle for liberation, mainly in the global south. And since national liberation movements were, per definition, the struggle for indigenous people to assert their collective rights for freedom, equality, and justice, the Palestinian struggle was positioned as part of this global indigenous movement. The collapse of the Soviet Union, the growing dominance of the United States and its allies, the return of Western colonialism in the form of neocolonialism to Africa, the West Asia region and elsewhere, have localized many of the indigenous movement's struggles. This proved costly as it allowed France, the U.S., Britain and others to, once more, sectionalize the global south into regions of influence, controlling them through whatever military, political and economic strategies they had in mind. Similar to the scramble for Africa in the late 19th century, recent decades wrought a new kind of colonial scramble for the global south. In the Palestinian context, in particular, the struggle was multifaceted. The demise of global powers, which created some kind of geopolitical balance, isolated Palestinian resistance movements. This forced these movements, namely those involved in the Palestine Liberation Organization, to seek political compromises without achieving anything tangible in return. For Washington, these concessions on the part of a once national liberation movement in Palestine were consistent with the U.S. regional agenda and the quest for a new Middle East, as they claimed. Ultimately, this resulted in the wrongly termed Palestinian division in 2007 and a state of political paralysis. And while Palestinians were busy sorting out their political and leadership crisis, the Zionist settler colonial process accelerated at the expense of whatever remained of the occupied Palestinian territories. Of course, this does not, from an intellectual and historical point of view, alter the essential nature of the Palestinian struggle, which remained that of an indigenous nation fighting for its rights. However, it did confuse the political definitions and discourses surrounding the so-called Palestinian-Israeli conflict. This confusion was a direct outcome of the misrepresentation of the Palestinian struggle through Israeli propaganda and U.S. Western media, which remained committed to elevating the Zionist regime's line. The Zionist regime invested in presenting Palestinians as a divided people who have no vision of peace, and the resistance movements as essentially terrorist groups, hell-bent on the destruction of the Zionist fake regime, and so on. But things began to change in recent years with the revival of indigenous movements around the world, from the black struggle in the U.S. to the indigenous people resurgence in North and South America, to the ultimate rise of an actual global movement centered around indigenous rights, which heavily invested in global solidarity and intersectionality, allowing it to multiply its powers several times over. The common element of decolonization in all its manifestations has created intersectional links among various struggles around the world, which allowed the Palestinian struggle for liberation to fit perfectly into the new global narrative. Eugenia Flynn and Tasneem Samak wrote in their article, Black Australia to Palestine, Solidarity in Decolonial Struggle, Black Australians and Palestinians share a history and reality of erasure that has lasted far beyond the anti-colonial era of the early last century, when most colonized people gained independence from colonial powers. Palestinians played a crucial role in 2014 Ferguson, Missouri uprising that flared that year in the wake of the police killing of black teenager Michael Brown, Russell Rickford wrote in an article in Vox. Rickford added, Palestinian activists used social media to share with African-American protesters tactics for dealing with tear gas attacks by militarized police forces, an experience with which many subjects of Israeli occupation are all too familiar. This was only the beginning, however, as over the years, Palestine began featuring as a staple in the black struggle discourse in the United States. Both movements fed on each other's popularity. conceiving new networks and connecting other global struggles together in a most harmonious fashion. All of this has been propelled forward by the growing connectivity of activists and their struggles around the world, thanks to the utilization of social media, along with independent indigenous media as critical components in organization and mobilization. While the credibility of mainstream media is being greatly questioned by Western societies, social media is now appearing to be a reliable source of information, of news about popular mobilization and direct action. The ongoing Israeli genocide in Gaza has demonstrated the power of social media in terms of its ability to overcome the intentional lies and deception of corporate media, thus greatly diminishing its traditional role in shaping public opinion around Palestine, the West Asia region, the U.S. self-serving so-called war on terror, and many other issues. It would not be an exaggeration to state that there is a parallel war to the one happening in Gaza now, one that engages millions of people around the world working diligently to defeat Zionist U.S. Western propaganda and to demand accountability for those carrying out war crimes in Gaza. It would be inaccurate to say that Western governments have been silent in the face of Israeli atrocities in Gaza, as indigenous struggles around the world ally with the struggle of the Palestinians. Colonial and neocolonial powers have no other option but to ally with colonial Israel. This means that Western powers are active participants in the Zionist regime's war on Gaza through their generous military support of Israel, the sharing of intelligence information, and through political and financial backing.
Start. Movement. Speed. Live in hope. Toward the peak. On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islam ID. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of Youth Station.
Yeah, we're here again. I am Bita and
I'm Asma. At your service. Home again.
Yeah, exactly. Our pleasure to be here.
Yes,
at your station.
There's some people around us who are too organized. Now, I don't want to say that I'm not one of those people, because mentally I cannot tolerate too much of disorganization.
Yeah, but you're not that organized. Yeah,
I'm organized.
You are a random person. I feel like I want to watch this movie despite the fact that I have an examination tomorrow.
Exactly.
And I will be back.
Yes.
Yeah, I know you're that kind of person.
Yes, I'm that kind of person. I do that. But
I feel, you know, I cannot tolerate so much of organization.
What is your zodiac sign, Bita? So even it has been proved that based on your zodiac signs, it might be sort of related to your zodiac signs. That is, some zodiacs are more organized than other people.
It may be effective. I have no
Like I'm a Virgo, and
it.
Then we totally naturally feel inclined toward organization.
Yeah. you know, even genetics have their,
of course,
their specific effect on that. You know, there are some features in everybody's personality that are genetical, especially this organization. And there are some people who cannot have a structure in their life. This is not a part of their personality. They feel like they are being suffocated whenever they are under a structure. I feel like that I'm being suffocated under the university.
Yes. Yeah. Let everybody know.
There are some methods to balance it or something, but no way to solve it completely.
Yeah, completely is just like a miracle.
Yeah.
But then we're talking about real world, and real world has got its own ways. So one of its ways, and something, Bita, by the way, nurture is also important.
It is.
Like, I see many family let their children be the way they are. Just go haphazardly. They do not feel that they have to take care of their own rooms. They do not have to take care of the things they have to do. They don't even have to set things by order.
You know, even the families that are so much overprotective will have some children.
Exactly.
Feel like they are responsible for their life. They have to do something.
Yeah.
They have to organize this, you know, this
like,
mess.
Like, see, now you're experiencing the dorm life. And recently, I've been going through that as well. So when
that
I
hell.
See...
I wanted to
When I
that.
See the girls there, I just understand how nurture is just affecting who you are.
Exactly. This is a really important
because
thing. Family
it is very
background.
Clear that some of these guys, they have never been doing anything in their life except that their mothers were doing everything for them.
I know.
As if like they had a maid throughout their life and now they're on their own.
You know, they're like, the only responsibility that I have is to study, nothing else, nothing more. And even the responsibility of studying is not the thing that they are doing. I don't know what they are doing with their life. And
exactly.
None of my business.
Maybe just scrolling different pages.
Exactly.
Of Instagram, or maybe just checking their phone, doing nothing.
Yeah.
I see that and I suffer.
Yeah, me too.
Now, I do not
really
claim that I'm
sad.
A very organized person, but at the very same time... I don't like messy life.
Me
because
too.
Because that's too difficult to tolerate.
It is. Because, you know, when your life becomes messy, your brain will explode
that's
with
the
these
point.
Informations. And
that's
all
the point.
All of the work that you have to do and you have to be organized about them. And, you know, the only method can just, do a thing for me in this kind of situation is writing whatever I'm going to do.
Mm.
This is my only method.
So we have to go for a break, but before that I ask you a question.
Yeah.
You think about it and I'll get the answer after
okay.
the break. If you were a mom, what would have you done for your disorganized child? Welcome back. This is Youth Station. Bita and I are talking about something very interesting, I suppose.
Yeah.
Some people are organized and some others are not. Why they aren't, the reasons, how we can solve it are going to be the things that we're going to discuss. Then I asked you a question.
Yeah, the question. Interesting question.
So I asked you, if you were a mother and then you had a disorganized child, what strategies would have you taken?
Okay, actually, it's a really difficult question to ask from a mother, which actually I'm not a mother.
Yeah,
so
but I guess if we ask mothers, they would have a lot of things to share.
Exactly, they would have a lot of things. Sometimes I think this kind of yellow information and psychological aspects that we're facing, like you have to be so soft and so on, is not true. Sometimes you have to be restrict, you have to...
No, I mean the word you're going to use is authority.
Yeah.
Parents
I
must
that.
Have authority. This
yeah,
is
I,
very
I do
important.
Agree with that.
Though you can use the word dear, but then from an authoritative point of view.
Yeah.
Like as
this
in...
This is really important.
We have all seen different parents. Like we have seen it in among our relatives, among our friends, that the parents who are too soft and too... Okay, we're friends with our children.
Yeah, they don't have any boundaries.
Exactly. Yeah, these parents are usually not the kind of parents who are very much successful.
And they're missing respect between themselves, unfortunately.
Yeah,
but
authority is needed in the relationship of parent and children. And then we were talking about organization. If a mom has got enough of authority to actually set rules for her children, I suppose they could go accordingly. And by rules, by the way, I'm not talking about a dictator sort of a person. I'm just saying that enough of authority is going to be helpful in these occasions.
You know, I believe that you have to make an atmosphere in your family that your children themselves choose to be whatever you want them to be.
Okay? Exactly, yeah.
And when they feel like they are choosing to be organized, they are choosing to, to organize their life, to have a schedule, to have routine, this and that, then they're going to feel like they are beneficial, they are doing something, they are having authority themselves. Mm. So we were talking about the authority of parents, but I think somehow, to some extent, children should have independence too.
What I said was not against independence. I guess both of them should work together. Like, parents must have authority to set rules, and children, of course, must be dependent and independent.
Yeah,
at the same
a balanced
time.
Combination of these two will work out. And that's it. And
balance everywhere is too good. And Bita, you know what? It's very difficult to have a not organized person with you.
Yeah,
like, as in the same room, in the same home,
everywhere, in the same family.
In a study even, you know, the group works we do. When there are some partners who are not organized, oh my God.
And I prefer to do the whole thing myself.
Yeah. As if you're parenting someone.
Yeah.
As if you're taking care of someone.
It's really difficult.
Always trying to remind them that you have to do this, you have to do that. I guess the first and most important reason for not being organized is being irresponsible and careless.
Yeah. You know, to not understand the responsibilities that you have for your own life is exactly the underlying reason of this behavior that we see among people, that they are disorganized and they don't feel the necessity to be organized.
Yeah, irresponsible.
Yeah,
irresponsible.
You know, they don't like him like that. If you don't like it, it can go away.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? You know?
Now I'm just seeing things I have never imagined that one day I would see.
The miracle of dormitory.
Yeah. Yeah, the words of a dorm living child.
Yeah, exactly. I know what you mean because I'm in a dorm
that's
too.
That's very difficult. You know, some of them are just mind-blowing in how irresponsible, careless, and easygoing they are.
You're dealing with this easygoing mind brain that they have. I cannot even understand it. How do you think about life? What do you think about it? What does that mean to you?
Now you're 20, but then when you turn into 30 and then 40 and then you become a mother, a father to your children, then what would happen? I mean, you would forget your child in the street, perhaps.
Yeah, exactly. It happened for one of my uncles, I think.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He's really disorganized. He's the most disorganized person I've ever seen in my whole life.
And it happens. Yeah. I have seen that as well with some other people, strangers in the bus. They leave their children in the bus.
Exactly. And, you know, his life is a mess. And I can see that. You know, everybody is a really important part of family, specifically if that person is a mother or father.
Yeah.
And his children are becoming exactly the same version.
The role model. Well, they have taken him as the role model.
Okay.
They seem to be enjoying life, but unfortunately, when there comes a moment when they come to ask themselves, okay, what have I done in my life? What is this mess all about? And then they would feel hurt so much.
There are times that, like turning points or something, that they feel like I have to do something about this mess. And they don't know that...
From where they have to start. Yeah.
Yeah, and this is their problem. And because of that, the point that they cannot find a start of this solution of solving this mess, then they're never going to do anything about it.
So enough of messy stuff. Let's go for a short break and then we'll be back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
IRIB English Radio, Youth Station, Bita and Asma are at your service. Well, messy people, I'm officially telling you, you have to change, guys. This life is not going to go anywhere. You're hurting other people.
Yeah. It's not all about you.
Yeah, it's not all about you.
You are working, I don't know, with your coworkers in the workplace. You are studying with someone at university.
Oh my God, you're hurting your family even.
Yeah.
So if you have never happened to think about what you're doing, I'm asking you hereby to just go for a soul-searching stuff and then ask yourself, is it right? Is it wrong? What should I do? From where do I have to start? And I guess it started from your own room. And then, after that room, then you can go for your mind and organize things there. Because, just as you said, Bita, the things that are around us would affect our brain and mental health.
Yeah.
So if I did not have an organized place, an environment in front of me, around me, then I'm not going to have a perfect, healthy, peaceful, organized mind as well.
Yeah, and even in psychology, we have so many facts that tell that your workplace, and specifically your desk that you're working on it, is really important to be neat, to be organized.
Yeah.
And
the word neat is so beautiful.
Yeah, and you know, it will help your brain to function more effectively.
More productively.
Yeah. And this is really important, specifically if you are planning for something, I don't know, for an examination, for an immigration, for whatever, you need to be organized.
And we have learned that from Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. We have a lot of narrations asking us to be neat, to be organized, to prioritize our needs, our goals, everything. So there is no word telling us, giving us the right to be disorganized person.
And you know, most of the people that are messy specifically, they think that if they become organized, they have to spend more time for doing everything. But you know,
they're wrong.
In long term, they will understand that the less time they are spending on some, I don't know, meaningless thing. So the thing is, just try it once. And it's going to be really difficult because myself, by nature, I'm a really messy person.
So please go check your rooms right now.
Right now. Yeah, I start from some physical parts of your life.
Yeah.
Like your room, like your bed. Make your bed every morning.
And yeah, start from little things. Try to make it as a habit formation.
Like for 14 days, I'm going to, for example, make my bed in the morning.
Exactly.
And start from this point and little by little.
Set a deadline for yourself.
Yeah.
That's going to work
too much. You will find yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in Youth Station, there's no way for us to say bye, but then by force, we have to say it.
No, by organization. Don't forget
by
that.
By rules.
So that was all the time we had. So I bid you farewell. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you, dear youth, will see that day, and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings. Be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about
this. We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Latif, 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 Ya Latif.
This is the Heart of Life pounding. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The headlines: the indigenously built Deir Lahman destroyer joins Iran's naval fleet in the Caspian Sea as part of the country's efforts to boost regional peace and stability. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman blames the U.S.'s decades-long support for Israel for the regime's devastating onslaught on the Gaza Strip. And the Hamas resistance movement says it seeks to extend the four-day truce in Gaza if Israel takes serious steps to release more Palestinian prisoners.
Welcome to the studios here in the capital, Tehran. This is News. Thanks for joining us.
Iran's new domestically made destroyer, Deir Lahman, has joined the country's northern fleet. The warship is equipped with advanced defense and combat systems and is capable of navigating long distances. Deir Lahman's flight deck also enables helicopters to land and take off.